might get your Bibles out. Nehemiah chapter number 8. Next couple services, we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah. This is the cart before the horse. We will be in chapter 8 tonight, and then earlier in the chapters, probably chapters 3 and 4 on Sunday morning, but maybe a little bit even into chapter 7. Sunday morning, but tonight I'd like to draw our attention to chapter 8. The story of Nehemiah, you're familiar. Israel is in captivity, and as the Ezra the priest has organized the rebuilding of not only the temple, but bringing people together, Nehemiah is touched by the lack of protection around the temple and his desires to build the walls. And, you know, once you have something worth protecting, it's, didn't need the walls until we had the temple. And, you know, it's amazing, even in our own homes, as we think about that, you know, maybe you weren't necessarily pushed to a conviction about certain things, but now that you have little people inside and, you set up a wall of protection in your home, not physically, but spiritually speaking, because you have something worth protecting. And this book of Nehemiah is very similar to that, of now that the temple is built, there's something, and there's people there, there's something worth protecting. And as we read in verse 1, it says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." At this point, the wall has been completed, and they would like the law read. This is a long time waiting, and they desired to have that. So they reach out to Ezra, as the Bible tells us, Ezra the scribe. Let's pray, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us in these few verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for your word that gives us wisdom and guidance in our life. And God, thank you that you have blessed so many of us with things worth fighting for and worth protecting. God, thank you for a faith that we don't have to defend, but you defend. God, thank you for your word that you've promised to preserve. God, it's good to be able to hold the truth in our hands. And God, as we proclaim it yet again tonight, that you would meet with us and speak to our hearts. Lord, there are needs here that there's no way I could know them all, but God, you know, and you're aware, and Lord, I pray that you'd use the message tonight to strengthen and encourage, maybe even touch with a point of conviction tonight that would draw us closer to thee. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read Nehemiah, it is it's an encouraging book. You got a bunch of people that come together, and that's where we start in verse chapter 8 and verse 1. "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate." To the strength and unity of a body of people far exceeds the strength of the group of individuals separate and then added together. It is better to be unified. And throughout the scriptures, we see that as a principle. God insists upon it. He desires it in his own people. And it's difficult, I would say it's difficult to unify people outside of Christ. But there is a common bond that we all have. And what brings us together here tonight? Yes, the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, maybe a friendship amongst one another. But there is a thread that goes all throughout here, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have different backgrounds. We have different upbringings. We even have, listen, different interests. And that is perfectly okay. But there is something that does bring us all together, and that is the Lord. And that's what we see here. There's a group of people now gathered themselves together. It says, as one man, here we are, unified. And we're going to see some scriptures in that. Go with me. Hold your hand in Nehemiah chapter 8, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul speaks of the importance of unity amongst the brethren. And he says this, "Now I beseech thee," in chapter number 1 in verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Imagine if they assembled that day outside of the Watergate. Now, different Watergate, Brother Parrott, than maybe what we're from. But there they assembled together outside the Watergate. And they said, all right, those that, and Jay was teaching us a little bit on Sunday morning, those that want to worship Baal, you're on the other side of the street. You're over by the that gate over there. And those that want to worship Jehovah, you're over by the Watergate. No, that's not what happened. There was something that brought them together. Hey, what brings us together is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that not what it says? "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you." See, Christ brings the believers together. Why? Because he's the head of it. He dictates what happens and how it goes, and the principles by which he governs us. "But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." How on earth could we be of the same mind? Because we have the same instruction manual. Again, not that we have the same personality. Say, well, I'm a little more shy. Well, I'm outgoing. I like hot dogs. Well, I like hamburgers. I like the mountains. I like the city. Well, who's right? Well, that doesn't matter. It's the principles of the Word of God that are most important. And Jesus Christ is the thing that brings us together, perfectly joined together in the same mind. Well, that takes a commitment. That means that I might have to align my thinking, not with your thinking, but according to Christ. There's unity in Christ. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. What gave the body of believers and Nehemiah such strength and what they were able to accomplish in such a short amount of time? It was their unity. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be" what? "Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." Hey, well, on Sunday morning we talked about love. Yes, we started with the love that God bestowed upon us. He initiated the relationship, but the majority of the message was about our response to that. Hey, we just kind of took it as an understanding of God loves us. We didn't have to question that. But as a result of God's love for us, now what? Well, we're to love God and we're to love others. That's what it says there, that we be like-minded, having the same love. Well, I love fishing. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the Lord. And we have a common bond. What is it? We have a love for the Lord, and we should have a common bond. We ought to be in the common mind that we love lost souls to come to Christ and love one another. Is that not true? That would fulfill ye my joy. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. There's unity in that. And that's what they had there in Nehemiah chapter number 8. There they were, standing as one man, thinking, okay, what do we want? We want to hear from God right now. Hey, why'd you come here tonight? Through unity, I want to hear from the Lord tonight. The only way to get all the details situated is to have the same mind and the same love. I'll go back to Nehemiah chapter number 8. Unity. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. You know, different churches do things differently, and that's fine. But you ought to have love for the Lord, and you ought to have love for the brethren. You ought to have a love and a care for the lost. If you don't have that, you're off on things. Unity. As we continue on, we draw our attention to the Word of God here in verse 2. And Ezra the priest, that's who they went looking for. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. What did they want? They wanted to, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women, those that could understand. What did he read? Poems? History books? No, he read God's law. And the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. There's something special about the Word of God. I've read a lot of books over the years. I try and keep track of the books I've read. I have a bunch of books on my shelf that I've referred to but have not read, I'm sorry to say. I'm usually in two or three books at a time, and today is no different. But the greatest book I've ever read is the Word of God. When I finish the Word of God, when I finish reading it, I just start right back at the beginning. I've read a couple novels and a couple theological books that have been a help and a conviction and touch my heart maybe two or three times. But the Word of God? There's no book like that book. It's inexhaustible. It is the final authority in everything. Look at Isaiah chapter number 40. Why did they want to hear from that? Why? Because it was God's answer to everything. Isaiah chapter number 40 in verse 8. The grass withereth and flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The book that you hold in your hand tonight is eternal. And what a blessing that is. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled, not just on earth. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hey, this place is going to pass away, but heaven, that's going to stay forever. He says, we're going to keep the word for all eternity. What makes that book so special? It's an eternal book. Look at Joshua chapter number 23, a couple verses out of the book of Joshua. Why would they want to hear out of this law? Can you imagine so long not hearing the word of God read? And they were so excited to hear the word of the Lord again. And there they were as Ezra the priest preaches the word of God, the law of God. And Joshua 23:6, be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom, to the right hand or to the left. You know what it tells me? The word of God will keep you straight. You let people go in their own thinking for any short period of time, and they go left, sometimes they go right. They stray from straight. And God says, hey, you follow me, and I'll help you stay away from the left and stay away from the right. You know, there's usually on any topic, there are extremes on either side. I listen to this. These pastors talk about this regularly. I really enjoy this podcast that I listen to. It comes out every Tuesday, and Brother Rice, we listen to it, and they regularly reference the two ditches on either side of the road. Here's the topic. Here's the extreme this way. Here's the extreme that way. Hey, the Bible references that. He says, don't wander from this book. Why? Because you'll either go to the left side or you'll go to the right side. That means God's way is right down the middle, right straight. And he says, you follow what I say, you do what I say, and you're going to be headed in the right direction. The worst thing I like is getting lost. Over the summer, Matt and I had the opportunity to do a little hiking. And there we were, and they were pretty well marked trails. But man, I was watching that map. I'm looking at my GPS on my phone with a paper map next to me. And those little things tied to random trees. I don't want, the last thing I want to get is lost in the woods. Now, if I were to get lost with some, I feel like Matt could get us out. But I did not want to get lost. I didn't want to go off the path to the left or off the path to the right. That's a scary feeling when you feel like, hey, I'm not where I ought to be. Hey, as a Christian, if you get off to the left or right, you ought to have that feeling. I'm afraid. Why? Because I'm not where I ought to be. I deserted from the Word of God. I've gone to the left, or I've gone to the right. I no longer hear the Word of God in my heart anymore. I've deserted the Word of God, and I've gone my own way. Hey, that's a scary place for a believer to be. And they said, Ezra, here we are. We have the walls. We have the temple. We have the people. Would you please read the Word of God? We want to align our life again with what God says. Oh, that the people of God would feel that way regularly, that we want to align ourselves with what God says. The Word of God is the final authority. It is eternal. It'll help us keep straight. And Joshua 1:8, familiar verse. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. One of the greatest hooks, if you will, the greatest traps of this world is worldly success. Depart from that book, and I will give you success. And God says, there's no success and prosperity away from this book. You cannot have those things. Real prosperity, real success is found by obeying and observing what God says. And how could we expect to know what to do if we have not read the book? The Word of God is our final authority. It is what brings us together. As we look in Nehemiah chapter number 8, and read verses 4 and 5. So they call for Ezra. Ezra brings out the law of God. And in verse 4, Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood, which the Bible says they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood a number of people on the one side and a number of people on the left. In verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, not status-wise, but physically, that pulpit of wood. The pulpit didn't look like this. It was more like when they reference a pulpit of wood like this, it was more like a platform that he stood up on. And all the people stood, and the Bible says, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. What was he about to do? He was about to declare the Word of God. Hey, if we have God's Word, what ought we to do with it? Well, we ought to preach it and declare it. If this truly is an eternal book that has all the answers to life, it'd be a shame if we closed it and spoke nothing of it. We ought to get our pulpit of wood. Now, you understand what I'm saying there. I'm not saying that we literally, physically make a pulpit of wood at our workplace or in our neighborhood, but we ought to at our next family gathering. Wouldn't that be something? Hey, what's Matt doing outside? Well, it looks like he's building a platform. What's he going to do? And there Matt stands on that and being the woodworker and say, thus saith the... No, you don't have to do that. But if this book is what it says and has changed our life like it has, the best thing we can do is declare it like Ezra did. Ezra the priest. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. What do you do with the Word of God? Well, we ought to declare it. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. I understand this is Paul talking to a preacher, a young man, an understudy of his in Timothy. But if we have the word of God, Timothy, what should we be doing with it? Well, we should be preaching it. We should be declaring it. We should be sharing it. Be instant in season, out of season. Hey, Timothy, you never know when there's going to be an opportunity. Be ready. Be ready to declare the Word of God. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Go there. Mark 16. And verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, we have the gospel. What should we do with it? Well, I'm just going to keep it for myself. No, we're going to take it and we're going to send it all over the world. That's what we should do with it, just like Ezra the priest declared the Word of God. We too should declare the Word of God. If we have the final authority, if we have God's Word, and we ought to declare it. We ought to live by it, and we ought to declare it. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Look at verse 7. Paul says this, wherefore I was made, Ephesians 3, 7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the grace, the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship and the mystery from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God and created all things by Jesus Christ. He says, I'm nobody. I wonder if Ezra felt like that day. There he stood, maybe nervous, stood with all the people, just eyes gazed upon. If they could understand, if they could hear, they were there that day. Man, woman, it didn't matter. And Paul, similar. Paul, I don't deserve this position. I'm just going to keep preaching to the Gentiles. I'm going to help people. I'm going to bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hey, church, what a great example found in Nehemiah chapter number 8, the unity, the final authority of the Word of God. And if that is what it says it is, then we ought to declare it. And then as we read finally in Nehemiah chapter number 8, look at verse 6. First we saw the unity, then we saw the authority, then we saw the declaration, and now we see the humility. Look at in verse 5, it says this, and Ezra opened the book in sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he had opened it, all the people stood up. Why'd they stand up? Out of respect for the Word of God. They hadn't heard it in so long. There was no curtain call or cue to it. There wasn't one of those guys standing next to him with a sign, stand now, applaud now. It wasn't like that. It was within their hearts. They had a respect for the Word of God, for the teaching and the reading of the Word of God. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, it says. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And now look at, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Just a second ago, Ezra stands up. Everybody stands up. There he opens up the Word of God, the law of God, if you will. He starts reading, and people just arise. You're a busy guy, brother. All right, there you go. Can you help Mr. Run? There you go. Thank you. I love Mr. C. I do. I just love him. He's great. Doesn't bother me. I'm all good. We're good. I forget it. We'll go home. No, I'm just kidding. They all stand in respect and honor for the Word of God. And then he starts reading it. And what happens? They're so humbled by it. They just drop to the ground and worship the Lord. We see a humility towards God and His Word. Hey, we ought to have a respect and at the same time equally a humility towards it. God, what is it you? What are you saying about me? Teach me. Fill my heart. And they worship the Lord with their faces to the ground. Man, what a sight that must have been. The Bible tells us if we're humble before God in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2, that is wisdom. To humble yourself before the Lord is wise. 1 Peter chapter number 5, we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Do you see what it said there? It said that, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. 1 Peter 5, 6, under the mighty hand of God. And then go with me to Romans chapter number 12, our last verse. And we'll kind of come full circle here. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 16. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Hey, there's that unity. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And we started with that unity, and what do we end with? We end with the humility. That's exactly what we see in Nehemiah chapter number 8. We saw a group of people assembled together for the sole purpose to hear the Word of God. Why the Word of God? Because it's eternal. Because it has all the answers. It keeps us from moving from the left and to the right. It keeps us straight. It shows us what real success and real prosperity is. And as we have the Word of God, we declare the Word of God. But at the same time, we are humbled within our hearts towards the Lord. What is your approach to the Word of God tonight? Do you long for it? Do you desire it? Do you allow it to reach your heart? Do you respect it? Hey, when we have respect for somebody, we are attentive to what they're telling us. Why is it so important that our children honor their parents? Why? Because parents have really good information for the children. Imagine if there was no respect between your 10-year-old or 15-year-old and the parent. They're not listening anymore. Hey, have you lost your respect for the Word of God? And at the same time, the humility to say, God, I think you're talking to me through this, and I need to adjust my life to what this says. As we read through the book of Nehemiah, we see this amazing story unfolding right before our eyes. A people that had not had the Word of God in a long time. And they were so touched in their heart that they first stood out of respect and then they dropped and worshiped. And I think that should be our approach to the Word of God each and every day. It's not just a checklist in our day, but it is truly fellowship with God Himself and an opportunity to humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. Glad you're here. It was a beautiful day. We didn't get together tonight just because it was nice out. We got together because we hold in our hands the Word of God, an opportunity to hear from God Himself through His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. God, we thank You for Your Word that keeps us on the straight path, keeps us from going left and right. And Lord, I pray that we would respect Your Word, that we would humble ourselves before You, that God, You call that wisdom. That is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Lord, we desire that You would speak to us. Lord, thank You again for this time. Thank You for these that are here. Thank You for our children. God, we certainly have something worth protecting. And God, thank You for giving us Your principles that we can apply personally into our homes. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.